Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to the Inside Syracuse Basketball Podcast, presented by Krause Health, the exclusive healthcare partner of Syracuse Athletics.
Welcome back to another edition of the Inside Syracuse Basketball Podcast. And we've got a guest I think Syracuse fans are going to love to hear from today. It's the newest member of the Syracuse Orange, Jair Davis, 6'7" forward at the University of Delaware. Jair, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
And I should say also, welcome to Syracuse.
Yes, sir, definitely.
You just visited the university, the campus, this past weekend. What were your general impressions of the school and the campus and the city?
I liked it a lot, for sure. You know, it's definitely a beautiful area, beautiful campus. Honestly, I just can't wait to get there.
You thought it was beautiful, and we all know it was a lousy, rainy weekend.
Yeah, definitely. It was definitely raining cold, but still was okay, though.
Still was okay?
Yes, sir.
Very cool. Take me back to the beginning of the process with Syracuse. Was there a connection there? Did you know any of the coaches, or how did you, just even the connection get made between you and Syracuse?
No, I didn't know any of the coaches, but they were probably one of my first calls, I would say, when I was in the portal. I talked to Coach B, and then Coach Red called me later that night, or later that probably afternoon too. So I definitely would say from the beginning, I feel like a priority from them definitely throughout the portal process.
So when you refer to Coach B, you're talking about Brendan Strawn?
Yes, Coach Brendan Strawn, yes. Yes.
Just in case some of our listeners aren't quite up on who Coach B might be, because I think some of our older listeners might associate that with Jim Boeheim. You didn't get a call from Jim, did you?
Yeah, no, he did not call me.
What were those initial calls like with both Brendan Strawn and Adrian Autry?
I think they just really wanted to know, you know, what I was looking for out of the portal process. Something that they told me that they pride themselves on is make sure that they find like the right pieces and the right people for the program. So I would say a lot of the conversations early were kind of just figuring out like different things I value, different things that are important to me, what I'm looking for in my basketball situation, what type of kid I am, what type of person I am. And I would say that conversation was vice versa. You know, I got to know them and like know the things they like as well, and kind of got to know them as people.
You had family with you on the trip, right? Because you and I talked the other night.
Yes, my mom and my grandparents came on a visit with me.
What were they there for?
I have a very close-knit family, I would say. Family's very important to me. So, you know, they're always going to be interested and want to make sure that I'm in a spot that they, you know, feel comfortable with me being in a spot where they know I can thrive in. So I would say those are probably the two reasons why they made sure to make the visit too.
You've played the last three seasons at the University of Delaware. You grew up in Delaware. So they've had Jair right there, close by, able to go see all your games. I wonder what their thoughts were about you entering the draft, the transfer portal.
Yeah, we definitely knew it'd be a little different. But one thing about them, they definitely had no problem traveling. Those three made countless away games as well. So they have no problem with, you know, taking a quick 40-minute flight or a four-hour drive up to Syracuse for some games.
Why did you decide to enter the portal for your senior season?
You know, I definitely love Delaware. I'm extremely appreciative for everything I got out of my experience there. You know, win a championship. I loved my teammates, loved my coaches. I was honestly looking for a bigger stage, to be pushed every day in practice, be pushed every day to have to, you know, perform at the best of my capabilities. And really, honestly, to be on a bigger stage trying to, you know, live out your dream of playing high major basketball.
What stood out to you on your visit to the Syracuse campus? Was it, I mean, because I know you the standard stuff. I mean, you're going to see the Mello Center. They're probably going to take you over to the Dome, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
What stood out?
Something that stood out to me is, you know, throughout the visit, the different people I spoke to talked about how they try to run the Syracuse program as close to the NBA program as possible. So I would say I was amazed by the different resources and things that the players have available to them. Something that definitely stuck out to me. And another thing that stuck out to me, I think I said this to you the other day, is just the vibe of the people that are around there. You know, it's a special group of people there who are, you know, close to each other. They're nice. They're, you know, kind. They're very welcoming to me and my family. And just seeing the way that, you know, coaches interact with players and how excited they are to see each other and how they can smile and laugh together was something that definitely stuck out to me. It made me recognize just how native a group it was.
I'm sure one of part of the process is you want to hear how the coaches plan on utilizing you, right? Where they're going to play you. What did they say? What were you looking for? And what did they say about how they planned on having you play?
You know, the makeup of, you know, some of my Delaware teams, you know, I was usually one of the biggest people on the court, which kind of impacted the matchups that I would get and kind of impacted the way, you know, different spots I had to get the ball. But we talked about how they watched so many of my games and looking at different analytics and stuff like that. And they know that I can do probably a lot more than what I've shown so far in college. And, you know, I think I've definitely had a solid, pretty good college basketball career so far, but definitely looking forward to expanding on that and growing in different areas of my game, you know, getting the ball in different areas, scoring in different spots. So that was something that they talked to me about. I'm a tough kid, so they like, you know, the level of toughness and physicality I could bring to the team. And then just a versatile offensive player who can score in different areas and different spots.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of your tapes myself, watched your game and everything. One thing you did mention to me the other night, and I didn't follow up with it, was you said you wanted to show that you're a better three-point shooter. Is that something you plan on working on this offseason, or, you know, have you already been working on the outside shot?
Yeah, something that I'm tirelessly working at. You know, I've always shot the ball pretty well in workouts. you know, I shot 80% from 80% from the free throw line this year. At one point, I shoot almost 90%. So it's definitely not as if I can't shoot. I know I can shoot. You know, believe that I can shoot. So it's just a matter, you know, making sure that when the shots come in the game, I'm ready to knock them down, which I definitely will be.
Oh, yeah. If you can shoot 80 to 90% from the free throw
line. Yeah, I can make a shot for sure.
Exactly right. I mean, you must have decent form, at least.
Yeah. I mean, talking about, you know, even just making sure to take good ones and how, you know, with some of the good players that are on the Syracuse team, how that's going to open up a lot of easy shots for me. And so that would definitely be cool.
You know, where was I going with it? I was saying I've watched you on tape.
Mm-hmm.
I watched an older tape of you back about 4 or 5 years. You were in eighth grade in this tape I was watching. Do you know where I'm going with this? You know the tape?
I'm not sure. Let me hear it.
All right, so you're in eighth grade, and it's like eighth grader Jair Davis dunking on every – it's like I'm watching this eighth grade kid, and you're out on the floor with these other guys, and they look like eighth graders. By the way, you don't. And you're – I can't believe you were dunking like this in eighth grade. It was effortless, and it was over and over again. I think it was at some AAU tournament, like a Buckeye Invitational.
Yeah, Buckeye Prep, yeah, camp, yeah. Yeah, I would say up to that point. So I would say I dunked for the first time actually at 12. It was during winter break at 12. I dunked for the first time at a practice. And then my birthday is January 8th. So I would say this is like during Christmas break. So probably 2 weeks later, we had a middle school basketball game on January 8th, my 13th birthday. And I had my first dunk in the game on my 13th birthday. My grandparents have a video of it, so that was definitely pretty cool. And I would say around that time is when I started playing football. Up to that point, I played football and basketball. But then after that video you're talking about, started to get a lot of notoriety through basketball and kind of put the football down.
I mean, I was looking at the other kids in these games.
Yes.
And like I said, they look more like eighth graders than you did. And
it's definitely crazy.
You made them look younger. And I was like, what was the reaction from both teammates and opponents when you come out there and start dunking on people?
It was definitely crazy. I've never reclassed or anything like that. So I've always been, you know, a true 2020, class of 2020 age player. But people, of course, were saying, like, where's your birth certificate? And saying I was too old and stuff like that. But never reclass, never anything like that.
Where's the birth certificate? So you said you played football.
Yes, when I was a kid, I played football from probably like 5 to like 13.
Okay, so you quit playing football about the age 13 or so? So that'd be like 8th grade?
Yeah, I stopped playing 8th grade because I went to Sanford, and I played varsity in 8th grade at Sanford. But Sanford doesn't have a football team, so it made it pretty easy to stop playing football.
No football team at Sanford. But you know what? They do play basketball there.
Yeah, we definitely play basketball there.
And Syracuse fans are going to know the name of one former Sanford alum.
Yes, they will.
Trevor Cooney. Right?
Yeah, Trevor went there, yes.
You know Trevor?
Yes, I know Trevor. I told you this too. They actually had, on my visit, they actually had a video surprise from Trevor in the slideshow they showed me, and him just talking about how awesome a place Syracuse is. Before I even came on my visit, I asked Trevor how Syracuse was, how his experience and stuff was here. He had nothing but positive things to say. So there's definitely a part of me and my decision for sure.
Who's the best basketball player to come out of Sanford High School?
Depends on who you ask, man.
I'm asking you right now.
I mean, I think there's a lot of good guys. You know, I think we all did something special. You know, Trev won championships. You know, I won championships. I broke some records and stuff. So I think, I mean, it depends on what you value and different things like that. So I think there's a lot of guys you can go with.
Trevor went to a Final Four.
Yeah, he did go to Final Four.
At Syracuse. Is that the goal?
Absolutely. Definitely the goal. Actually, in the video, he actually mentioned last time Syracuse had a kid from Sanford on the team and went to the Final Four. So hopefully we can recreate that.
You know, we had some fun the other night. I did not put this in the story that I wrote the other day, but you and I were chatting about Nyheim McLeod.
Yes.
And a big Nyheim, 7'4" center here at Syracuse. He's got a great personality. He's an outgoing guy. He had some fun with your recruitment here. He was sending out some tweets, make it happen. And then Sunday morning, he's sending out tweets with the little orange emojis. Did you get a chance to meet Nyheim? And can you tell me a little bit about your all-state action?
Yes. Throughout the weekend, Nyheim, JJ, and Will all came to the different dinners and lunches and stuff. Definitely cool getting to know them. They're definitely three good guys. They definitely made me feel welcomed on campus. So that was definitely a huge part of my recruitment and choosing Syracuse. You know, it's important to, you know, mesh well and like the people you would have to be around all the time. You know, it's a basketball team. You're together basically 24/7. So it's definitely good. You know that. Like, I like my new teammates next year.
So with Nyheim and Will Patterson, you know, joining there for some, you had a couple of really big, tall guys there, 7'4" and 7'2".
Definitely a tall dinner for sure. Definitely a tall dinner.
That's really tough. While we got you here, how's Nyheim look? Is he out of that walking boot?
I'm not sure actually. I mean, I let him speak on that. You know, I know he's been, you know, working hard to get back. So I'm not exactly sure, of course, where he is in that, but I know he's working hard. I know he's definitely looking forward to getting back out there. From what he told me.
You know, your college career began with a year at Providence. You didn't play that first year because of a concussion, right?
Yes.
How did that happen? Was that in practice or a game?
So, yeah, I practiced the first, not so probably like the first like 3 or so weeks of practice. You know, definitely a weird year with COVID, so I don't remember what month exactly it was. Let me say like November. I think that season started a little later.
Yeah.
Me and another player ran into each other, and like my head hit the floor. And I tried to just keep practicing, but then one of my coaches recognized what was going on and got me to concussion protocol. And then throughout that process, me just getting back from the concussion took a little longer. You know, probably looking back, I probably should have just, the first time it happened, just let it definitely take my time in getting back. But, you know, young and trying to just get back as fast as possible, I probably tried to practice a couple times too early, which made it a longer process of getting back. But I definitely credit that season as a big part of my development. You know, I got to be around good players, got to be in a intense environment practice-wise. So I definitely think I got a lot better through those practices and through being around that level of basketball.
At what point that year did you realize, you know what, I'm going to have to take a red shirt because of the?
I mean, you know, as a true like 18-year-old freshman, it's already tough, you know, getting this team like that, and, you know, getting to the swing of things. And I would say after probably, you know, the first 10 or so games where, you know, I'm still battling through the concussion and trying to do the concussion protocol steps, it kind of was, you know, the writing was kind of on the wall for just making sure that I had my first full season as the next season.
So at what point were you able to at least resume full basketball activities? Because even while you're taking the medical redshirt, at some point you're able to practice again, right? And work out?
I would say probably like by December, January, I was like the full swing of things, be able to practice every day, lift every day, work out, you know, multiple times a day. So I definitely, it was definitely still a big year in my development, practice wise, for sure.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That first year at college can do that, whether you're playing or redshirting.
For sure.
Redshirting used to be more common than it is these days. Guys would just come in and redshirt that freshman year, and you'd just see them get bigger. They grow. They get used to the college game.
For sure.
But after that year, you decided to transfer back home to Delaware. Take me through that.
Yes. You know, most people probably would think, like, I would think that a consensus idea would be I left Providence, but, you know, like it would hurt ego or like not kind of being a little, you know, doubt myself a little bit. But I actually would say it was the opposite. You know, at Providence, I think that, you know, I had some really good practices. You know, I definitely kind of gained confidence, and I really fully believe that I could be a pretty good college basketball player. So I entered the portal, you know, definitely had some schools called, but in my heart, when I entered the portal, I kind of knew that I wanted to go to Delaware and try to do something special there. And, you know, of course, they called me. I had a previous relationship with them as a staff from when I was in high school. You know, they always, you know, stuck around. You know, they probably knew it would kind of be hard to get me out of high school. And they were still supporting me through my high school decision. But as soon as I got in the portal, you know, Coach Inglesby called me. Coach McCray called me at the time. And I definitely felt comfortable with them coming back to Delaware.
Oh, okay. Are you looking forward to coming up to Syracuse now, though, after 3 years at UD?
Yes. You know, I think moving into a new phase of my life, I'm extremely excited to get to Syracuse, for sure.
What are your plans? When do you come up here? I mean, obviously you probably have some academic work to finish up this semester down at Delaware, right?
Yes. And so I'm going to finish graduate. I'm going to walk in May and then finish up with one more class in June and get to campus after that.
Congratulations on earning that degree.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
What was your major? What's your degree in?
Communications. Media communications.
What kind?
Media communications.
You know they have a pretty decent school up at Syracuse University for that, right?
Yes, that's something they definitely mentioned to my family, yes. Yes.
Is that what you might do in your year up here? Do you know?
Yes, probably something around that. You know, we're still figuring out with what exactly I'm going to do in that year. But you know, I'm done playing basketball. I think it'd be cool to, you know, talk about the game and be at some different games, talking about and analyzing the game. So that's something I'm definitely interested in.
You know, just random stuff here. A couple times during our conversation, you've kind of raised your arm.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking to myself, that is one of the biggest biceps I've seen in quite a while. How much do you bench press?
I think I actually had the highest bench press on the team this past year. I think it was somewhere like 275, somewhere around there. Of course, it was for one, and that was definitely tough to do. But yeah, somewhere around 270, 275, I think.
And that's pretty tough for basketball players because you guys generally have longer arms.
Yeah, for sure.
A bench press is tougher for football guy for basketball guys than most like other, you know, regular people because your wingspans, you got to push the bar up further, right?
Right, and that's been a big difference for me. I've always been like a naturally like kind of body strong kid, even high school. But I would say over college, I've definitely like grown in strength in the weight room and stuff like that. And I think it's definitely helped my game a lot.
Cool. All right. Well, we've learned a little bit about you here today, Jair.
Yes.
I really do appreciate it.
For sure.
You know, just for Syracuse fans who are also listening in, it is Jair.
Yes, Jair.
So we're going to get that right, make sure we address you properly. But I really appreciate you taking the time to join us here on the podcast, chat a little bit, and look forward to meeting you in person when you get up here later this summer.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for your time. Appreciate
it. All right.
Join us next time for the Inside Syracuse Basketball Podcast, presented by Krause Health, the exclusive healthcare partner for Syracuse Athletics.